Awesome. Let me pray tonight in this place. Father, I want to just thank you for amazing work you want to do today. Thank you, Lord, that you are continuing a work that you started this weekend. You started with Foundation 4, Lord, and you are still busy with us. And I just want to thank you, Lord. You are King and you are Savior. There is none like you, Lord. Father, make us a church and make us individuals that only live for Jesus. Only live for Jesus. We praise your name. Amen. Carl, Warren, and Orca, can you quickly come to the front? Warren, is it possible? Please join me in the front. I just want to take a moment. Yes, also everyone that played this weekend in the band, can you guys quickly come to the front? I want to brag with you just quickly. Where's Wes? Wes, please join us. Where's Wes? Oh, there's Wes. No. Oh, Kiddies Church. Okay, great. Wes, is that Kiddies Church? Where's Carla? There's Carla. Guys, I want to just, you know, I love churches. Every church in this town, I always mention my friends. But let me tell you something about Shofar worship leaders, is they look like normal people. I think if I don't talk to Warren, he will lead worship in a PT pant. Because, you know what, it's not about them. And something, it's in the water, because I see it in all our other churches as well. These guys, I want to really say it about them, they're really humble. And they're all about worship Christ. Thanks for serving us this weekend. 5, 6, 7, 8 hours, you're back here on Sunday. We celebrate you guys. And we want to become more like you with our gifts, humble. Can we give them a clap, please? If this is your first time or your second or your third time, you connecting with us in the middle of a sermon series, but don't worry, tonight will also stand on its own a bit. We're busy with something we call head scratches. We identified a few very difficult things in our faith, and about a month ago we started working our way through these difficult topics. We actually started with generosity. Bates had an awesome sermon on that, just God being a generous God. What does it mean for our finances? What does it not mean? We spoke about Jewish traditions. So it's a very, it's something, a very fashionable thing these days. Christians trying to go back to Jewish roots. And we really spoke through that, about how Christ is the real thing of all the shadows of the past, and how it does not make sense to go and greet the shadow. You greet the real person, and Christ has come. Amen? Okay, so that we don't go back to Jewish rules and regulations. We look at Christ. What did he say? What did he not mention? Amen? And we spoke to it. You can get it off the internet, that sermon. Very important. And then we started with something we call the fear of the Lord. I had 4 points last time. I'm going to quickly mention it, and we're going to have 4 more tonight. And next week, we're going to finish off with something very important, especially in Afrikaner culture. Should you judge? We hear it a lot. Many judgy. Hey, judge no. The guy is basically beating his wife, doing everything wrong. And if you say, you know what, this man should come to Christ, yeah, judge him now. Okay, we're going to talk about that. You know, he can hit his wife, but you must not judge him. Okay, we're going to quickly chat through that. Because it's very important for us, right? And we'll finish off with head scratches next week. Okay, so just quickly, let's just touch base on this thing of the fear of the Lord. What is the fear of the Lord? I'm just going to try and press last time's sermon into 5 minutes. What we said about the fear of the Lord, it is something very difficult to really pin down and define, and because it's like love. And so the Bible takes a whole chapter. It says, love is like, and then it gives a word, kindness. Love is like patience. Love is like bearing with one another. It's like this big chapter, and still it's undefined. I mean, the best definition to say is God is love. Okay, what Christ did, like giving his life for me, and he was perfect, and why would he? We see love, but it's difficult to write it down. And what we said is, you can say this is a glass, this is how it looks, it contains some water. Every week I have very interesting objects in my water. Today it's grapes. I've had chocolate in here once, thanks to Nicolene. Anyways, this is a glass. It contains water, H2O. It's got certain, you can even explain water. This is what it contains. But one is the fear of the Lord. It's something we want to sidestep. Nee, it can't really be fear. It can't really be fear. How can it really be fear? Maybe God means something else. And so we're discovering that. All right, are you with me? Check this out. For God gave us a spirit not of fear. And then the next slide, it almost looks like the Bible is saying something different. It says, the fear of the Lord leads to life. So just by putting two scriptures on there, we see something that seems to have a tension. How can God not give us fear, but yet on the other side, there's a fear that leads to life? All right, how does it work? It fits together perfectly. And so we quickly try to explain fear. And let me just start by saying this. You will have fear in your life. You cannot get around it because you are human and you are made with it. All right? And I told this story almost like to get you in that picture. You know that time when you were 4 or 5 years old and stuff happens at home. Maybe mom and dad were fighting. Some of us experience that. You're actually very fortunate if you come out of a house where you never heard your mom and your dad have a go at each other. That's very rare. And so I would cry in my bed. You know, I would lie there. I'm like, oh, why am I born into this family? You know, at my foundation fall, I had to repent because I actually wished at one stage that my dad would just die. I was a young man. I didn't know better. I had to say, well, Lord, forgive me for that. Today we're like this. But my point is we little and we lie in our bed and the world is big. You know, a grandpa dies, this mom doesn't have money for shoes, and you're like, why? Where's this world going to? Who is in charge here? This is a big world. Here am I in my bed. Who's looking out for me? Who knows what I'm talking about? And fear registers, and it will, because you are made that way. And so to have a fear as a baseline is not the issue. The issue here is who is in charge? Who's in charge of this world? While I'm there in my bed, worrying, crying, who is in charge? Who makes the calls? What is fear and why do I fear? And Jesus answers and he says, I tell you, my friends, do not fear those who kill the body. And after that, have nothing more that they can do. But I will warn you whom to fear. So it is okay to fear. Are you with me? I will warn you whom to fear. Fear him who after he has killed has the authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. This is difficult for us charismatics. We don't want to hear this. But let me tell you what. Who's in charge? Who came to save you? God. Who do you turn to? God. Who will forgive you? God. But there's no way around God. At the end, we will stand before him. And I cannot sidestep him. So to fear that moment is a good thing. Why? Because it's important. It's very important. And so here's our 4 points from last time. Oh, let me just first say this. There's two types of fear. The Bible distinguishes between them clearly. It says there's a fear of the Lord, which is wisdom, safety, and there's every other fear which will lead to death and it will paralyze you. It will cause you to be very afraid in a human sense. And we're going to get to that later, but let me tell you what, the fear of the Lord will boost you in this world. That's just how it works. We're going to discover that now. If we go to the next slide, that was our 4 points from last time. I'm sorry I can't go into all of them. Please get the sermon if you want it. It's up there. The fear of the Lord, part one. I just want to touch the first point because it lays a foundation. And this is what I said last time. John writes in Revelation, he says, I see God, I see Christ. This is a man who walked with Christ on earth. I asked him, yes, can I sit next to you one day? Christ said, it was not for me to decide. He was pally-pally with Christ. He sees Christ in a vision in the book of Revelation. And he falls, and the Bible says, as if dead. Boom. dead, terrified. And we ask ourselves, why? Why? What is going on in John's heart? Why is he experiencing this fright, this terror? Why is he on his face? Why is he not high-fiving Jesus? Why is he not hugging him at this stage? Why is he, boom, dead? And so we almost took this kind of, we say we realize that God is a God that really loves people. Are you with me? God loves people. And so that, therefore God hates sin. Why does God hate sin? Because sin is what causes little young girls like your own child to get raped. Right? What causes that? Sin. God hates that because he loves that girl. God loves marriage, but sin causes one person to just leave another person and go, leave them in difficult situations. Sin kills us. Are you with me? And so God hates sin. And now I fall before God. Why? Because I realize I have sin. I have a fear of judgment. I'm like, it is in me also. Okay, I haven't raped a little girl, but it is in me. I sense sin. You know, it's maybe in a different form, but it's in me, and I'm frightened. And as I fall before God, there's a voice that speaks and says, I want to forgive you. If you give it to me, I will forgive you. I will wash you whiter than snow. And so the one who's in charge of judging sin says, I want to pay for yours so that you can stand before my Father one day. And then he says, I don't see anything. It's paid for. Come home. Very important. The fear of God will save your life. Okay? Everything is built on that foundation. Is there a chance that we can put this feed off? Warren, is there something we can mute? See if you can. Warren is busy, don't worry. Okay, are you with me? The fear of God will save your life. If you, what we also said is you will fear something. You will bow, you will fall before something in this world. You will fall before money, or you will fall before the temptation of sex, or you will fall before the desire to be promoted and be known. But you will fall before something. If you fall before God, what happens? Lift you up. I'll stand. I paid for it. Second thing, the fear of God. The thing you fear most, you will worship. All right? You will fall before what you fear most. All right? And the fear of God overpowers every other fear. In fact, the scripture that says God did not give us a spirit of fear, that specific word, you can also translate it that God did not give us a spirit of cowardice. And so what we say is when I fear God, I'm not a coward. I'll stand up to any other fear. Bring it. Because I've already fell before the most fierce being in the world that can send souls to hell or heaven. And he's here to call me close and wash me. What do I fear now? Are you with me? And that's why Christians is the bravest people you will meet. They will be burned on stakes. They will be crucified upside down. They will be mocked. Their heads will be chopped off in Syria. They will not turn away from Christ. Why? I don't fear what this people can do. Oh, but I will stand before him in a moment with a smile like this. I'm going very deep. But just because we live in a very safe place doesn't mean it doesn't happen out there. Christians are being killed for their faith. And they'll kill your kids first, then your wife, and then you. And Jesus says, take heart. Fear only me. Are you with me tonight? Going deep, but we have to. It's in our diet right now. It's what we're dealing with. Now, follow me here. Oh, God is a comfort for those who fear him. We're going to go on 5, 6, 7, 8, and I don't want you to miss the bus here, all right? Psalm 31, verse 19. Get that other sermon if you want to, if you feel a bit in the dark. But don't worry, I'm going to get you on the bus now. Oh, how abundant is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you. And I've checked these words. It's not those who respect you. It's not those who think highly of you. That comes from the fear of the Lord. It's fear. It's terrified. How abundant is your goodness for those you have stored up. Stored up. He's storing up goodness specifically for those who fear him. And worked for those who take refuge in you in the sight of the children of mankind. He goes on and says, In the cover of your presence, you hide them from the plots of men. You store them in your shelter from the strife of tongues. Where do you take refuge? Where do you take refuge? Or I can say, before whom do you fall? Where you fall for safety. Where do you take refuge? If you want to set yourself up for failure in any area, okay, your workplace, your family, with your friendship, you want to put yourself up for failure, take refuge in men. Take refuge in a person, and you will set yourself up for failure. They will promise you, maybe even with the integrity of their heart, but they cannot deliver what you need on the deep side of your spirit. Where do you take refuge? How abundant is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you and have worked for those who take refuge. You see, it's the same thing. Where do you take refuge? I'm married to a beautiful woman. That's why I have a ring. And we confide in one another. I mean, we really have an awesome marriage. I am sometimes a domkop. I do a lot of stuff wrong. My wife has got tons of grace for me. The people, the leaders who work with me know I can be a law school. But you know what? We love one another, but I don't take refuge in her because she cannot provide for me what God can. Does that make sense? Don't take refuge in your fiancé because they cannot provide. If they say they love you, they mean that, but they cannot be for you what God can be. And so one day when they let you down, it's okay because your shelter have not broken. Shelters with Christ. They can let you down. Where do you take refuge? Amen? He's good to us. Honey and Nicolene, married 2 weeks. They've got this down. Maybe tonight you're sitting and you feel kind of exposed because you know what? You really have been manhandled by people. People, because the thing is, you actually have a good heart and you're serviceable and you've got the gift of mercy, but that gift maybe wasn't placed in the balance of good friends to help you steward it, and people have made a mop out of you. Take refuge in God. Take refuge and don't step back. I want you to serve again. I want you to put your heart on the table again. I want you to be merciful again. I want you to give people a chance again. Only this time, don't take refuge in their promises. Take refuge in God. Are you with me? There's a goodness which He has stored up for those who fear Him and has worked for those who take refuge in Him. And so here's point number 5. Very important. There's a peculiar goodness available for those who fear Him. Why this weird thing? A peculiar. Peculiar means strange, not of norm. Why? Because God is good to everyone. Do you know that? He's good to everyone. But there is a specific goodness stored up for those who fear Him. You will experience His goodness if you breathe. Every person in this town, because your head is not being taken off by Satan, which coming for you. God's goodness protects you from evil, from the schemes of man. God is kind. His goodness reaches to everyone. But there's a goodness that comes on top of that, which is stored up for those who fear Him. And test this. Go to someone that you've realized in the last year or two, they really came and got stuck in this church or wherever, you know, Lighthouse, Craig, whatever, wherever, and they've given God their life. They've given it away. And ask them, is God good to you? Ask them that question. And they will say, I can't explain it. He is amazing. Was He bad to them in the past? No, because God is good. But there is something that happened when I laid it down and I fell before Him. He has stored up amazing things for you. Don't run away from the word fear, but fear only God. Amen? If you fear Him more than financial failure, you'll never have to worry about finances again. if you fear him more, then that this specific relationship will fall apart. If you fear God more, you've got one less fear to deal with. God, you take control there. Whatever your fear, if the fear of God is your only fear, you only have one. And what does this fear accomplish in your life? It gives you goodness. I'll take that. If I have fear in me, I'm going to use it in one specific direction. I'm going to fall before him and I'm going to take goodness for my fear. Are you with me? Great. For God gave us a spirit, I'm reading the scripture again, not of fear or cowardice, all right, but of power and love and self-control. Now, what I want you to see is this fear that God speaks of here is not the fear of God. Are you with me? It's a spirit of fear that causes you to be anxious about stuff. And what is the fruit of that fear? Check on the screen. It makes of you a coward, okay? It causes you to do the opposite of having power, love, and self-control. It takes your power because you are in a place of being very scared, okay? It takes your love. Do you know that if you are fearful in a relationship, it's not possible for love to flow? Did you know that? Because anything that causes you to self-preserve takes away the ability to give love. And love means you must flow out. Okay? So a spirit of fear, which is not of God, will close the taps of love in your marriage. Okay? Are you with me? At your workplace. If you fear that person, you won't be able to give them love, which means Christ can't reach them. All right? And so God said, I did not give you that fear, but what I give you power, love, and self-control. Now see how this comes together. Now he's talking about the other fear. It says, the fear of the Lord, in the fear of the Lord, one has strong confidence. Total opposite. I'll take that for fear. And his children will have, there's that word again, a refuge. And he goes on, he says, the fear of the Lord is a what? It's a fountain of life that one may turn away from the snares of death. It keeps you out of trouble. The fear of the Lord. And so point number 6, the fear of the Lord brings freedom. The fear of the Lord brings freedom. Every other fear will tie your ankles to something. The enemy comes to paralyze you, slow you down. And some of you maybe remember, there was a time when I had faith. Now I actually have more fear. There was a time when I was very giving, but I find myself being quite, you know, close to giving because people have hurt me and messed with me. Come back and bow before God. He will loosen you up again. Amen. There's many layers to this, guys. There's one sermon. There's 50 a year. And there's many things about if you are a giving person, you want to go flat out, you must be positioned in a place where we fit together, right? Because you can't give to the whole world out of your own heart. You'll die. So we make a team effort here. Some of us is good at... You know, there was a time when... Like, you just saw Warren in the front here with his Bart. There was a man behind it. And there was a time when them and Carl were the only people here. And so they didn't have a choice. He had to play the band, maybe preach, and bring the cookies all at once. It's just how it works, okay? But as we have grown, that's very practical. But in a spiritual sense, we actually come together. But the fear of God causes you to open up again. But when you open up in a good place. Amen? Stand shoulder to shoulder. The fear of God brings freedom. Every other fear, the opposite. Jeremiah 23. Can a man hide himself in secret places so that I cannot see him? Declares the Lord. Do I not fill the heaven and the earth? Declares the Lord. Do you agree God is everywhere? Okay. Next verse. Where shall I go from your spirit, or where shall I flee from your presence? Obviously the answer is no, that's David. If I ascend to heaven, you are there. And if I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. Do you agree God is everywhere? Check this out. God is everywhere, previous slide, but. Okay? Or God is everywhere and. Can we go to the next slide? The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him. He's everywhere, all right. We'll unravel that in a second. He's everywhere, but the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him. Why is God camping around those who fear him? Because they're right there on their faces. He's there. He doesn't have to go looking for them. They are already there, like honey in F4, flat on their face. And so he just does this. And his mercy is for those who fear him. Add to that mercy. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. If you don't know, this will be very cool. The next slide, there's two types of the presence of God, and this is very important. This will make sense in a moment. Number one, God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. So any person, at any time, at any moment of the day, anywhere in the world can say, God is all around me. Do you agree with me? Because where can I go from his presence? Okay, if I ascend to the heaven, he's there. If I go to the underground, to the underworld, he is there. But then there's something called the manifold presence of God, which is a bit different. So God is with me. And sometimes we experience it in worship. We come into this place, we know God is everywhere, we come in here, the guys like Warren Cole all could get on stage, and they've been preparing and praying for us the week, and we've been praying at intercession, and when they start to worship, boom, something happens in this place. And you're like, okay, I know God is everywhere, but he's here now. Who knows what I'm talking about? We've experienced that. I've experienced that tonight. His presence is revealed to me in a very personal way. And scripture says that his presence, he is close to those who fear him in a very special way. He encamps around those who fear him. Isn't that amazing? You can really walk with God. The fear of God invites God's manifold presence. That's point number seven. And that's why we had that illustration last time where we said, I said, I don't want it to be external, but if this is the position of your heart before God, okay, that, Lord, I'm here for you, or this, which one fears God? Which one will experience God? Which one will be open to receive a blessing? You make the call. I'm talking about the position of your heart, because you can, you know what I'm saying? But if this is your heart, watch out, because he's coming very near to show himself kind to you. What I am saying here, guys, is I don't need you. And so I'm not going to get him. I'm not going to get access. Are you with me? So the fear of God invites God's manifold presence. He's with me. I experience him. I'm going on. We're going fast tonight, man. Psalm 31 verse 19, oh how abundant is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear him. We get that scripture again, I'll tell you why just now. For those who take refuge in you. Can you see how those two words are related in more than one scripture? The fear of God and those who take refuge. Can you see that? What actually happens is the fear of God is the only fear. There's something about the fear of God that you'll find in no other fear. And for a lot of you, this will be a light bulb moment, because it was for me. It's the only fear that draws you closer. Come. It's the only fear, because it's the only fear that's holy. Every other fear is sinful. If you fear a person, you'll go away. If you fear a situation, you move away. You get paralyzed, or you close your heart. You move away in one sense or the other. But the fear of God, once you have tasted it, it always draws you nearer. It's amazing. It's the only fear, because there's only one God. There's only He that can do that. And this is a very cool way of seeing it. And John Piper's quote on the next slide, he says, "The fear of God is the fear of straying away from God. Lord, anything but let me not leave your side. Lord, many things can happen in my life, but Lord, may I worship you for all my life. Lord, I pray this one prayer for my marriage. Every other prayer is secondary. May we be on our knees before you. Not before money, not before any other fear, only before you. The fear of God is the fear of straying away from God. Lord, tonight when I go into worship, may my heart be with you, not on any other thing. I want to experience you encamping around me. Oh, how awesome it is to fear God." Can you see that? So the last point is the fear of God is inviting. It draws me to Him. It's inviting fear. Does it contain reverence? Yes, for sure. It is not reverence. It contains it. Does it contain awe? For sure. It's the angry, wow, He's big. I'm going to stay here with the big one. Okay? And I'm not scared of those guys at the back. I want to say something. You've not experienced the love of God if you've not feared God. Because there's this portion of His goodness that will only flow in once you fear Him. It goes together. It's the only place where it goes together. It cannot work together because a spirit of fear, okay, an evil spirit of fear is not from God, can never work with the love of God. Always will oppose it. But the Holy Spirit, there's one fear, the Holy Spirit, which is holy and perfect, can work. It's a fear of God. So it can work with love. Because it comes from the same Spirit. Are you with me? If that goes over your head, just put it in here. Okay? The Holy Spirit can work one fear, the fear of God, and love together. There's no other place it can work. And we try and copy that. You will stay with me. We will be a family. You will stay with me. That's how we talk. And we think by putting fear into the woman, we are going to love them. It will never work. She will love you when you are watching. But a spirit of fear and intimidation cannot work love. It cannot work. But with God, it works different. Fear me because I will protect you. Amen? That's our last slide. If you want this, I can ask Regis to put it on Facebook or something. But just, can we just take a minute and just read through it? And what I want you to do is that you read through it one by one. If okay, if you guys can come up the band. What I want you to do is say, God, I want that in my life. But only one fear. Amen? Only one fear. But go through that list. 1, 2, 3. And just pray it into your life. Father, thank you that the fear of God saves our lives. Thank you, Lord, that what we fear most, we will worship. Thank you, Lord, that the fear of God, it overpowers every other fear. You know what? A lot of you can actually stop being afraid right now of a lot of other things. Isn't that amazing? Thank you, God, that you're a comfort for those who fear you. Thank you, Lord, that there's goodness that's stored up for those who fear you. I want some of that goodness, God. The fear of God brings freedom. The fear of God invites God's manifold presence. God Emmanuel, God with me. And the fear of God, it is inviting. Isn't that amazing? Let's stand up in this place. A lot of you guys spend time with God daily. You you read the Bible and you pray, and I know some of you, you're in accountability groups and you even share those scriptures with one another. I want to give you some homework. I want you to start your time with God by saying, God, I love you more than anything, and God, I fear you more than anything. And then take some authority and say, devil, I don't fear anything that you can throw at me. I only fear my King, who loves me more than anything. Thank you, Lord. Father, let's just close our eyes. I want to thank you, Father, that you are just doing a work in our lives. You're just taking us to deeper layers of the faith, equipping us, helping us. And Lord, thank you that at this moment, I can ask just for your presence in this place. If you're comfortable with it, while our eyes are closed, don't you just want to make a declaration, say, God, I fear you. Because what we're doing, let's invite this manifold presence at this moment. God, I fear you more than anything. Lord, I only fall before you. Come with your presence in this place. We won't bow our knee to any fear, but we will fall before our Savior, the one who lifts us up, the one who has stored up goodness for us. Oh, Lord, we worship you.
Earth will shout your praise.
Awesome, guys. We're going to put some action to our faith. Amen? So I've got one question for you. I'm not going to ask you to close your eyes or lift up your hands. We practice it this weekend at F4. If you've got any other fear that you can put your finger on, any other fear, maybe it keeps you awake, maybe it worries you, and you want to walk away from that fear, then you need to walk away. Okay? So I want to ask you to walk to the front. What you're saying is, God, I'm walking to the fear of God. I fear nothing else. So I'm going to count to three, and if that is you, then you're going to walk out. But you're saying, I'm walking away. And can I get my F4 guys and small community, and we're going to pray with you, okay? One, two, three. Let's bury some fears. If you want to receive prayer, I want you to face this way, and someone's going to come face you, and you guys are going to declare that you walk away from that fear to the fear of God. Amen? If you're not here in front, please just enjoy God's presence for a while. If you want to sit, you can sit. Pray for someone. If you want to pray for someone in front, you can also come. But let's respect this moment, because God is working. Amen? Awesome. Henko and Magdalene, can you guys come help? Scully. Zinta, if you can get here on your crutches, that would be great. Okay, but now we're going to take something from F4, all right? So you're not going to be polite to your fear. You're going to speak to that thing. You say, you don't belong in my life. You'll go like a dog. You chase it away. You say, I'm done with that, okay? So you take authority. You take a stance of strength. You say, Lord, I'm walking away from this fear or that fear. There's a lady there at the end. Can we have another lady facilitator? Great. Great, you guys can pray and spend some time with God. Guys, let's just have patience, 1 or 2 minutes, and let's God do work.